Okay, welcome back to the She Said podcast. We're on episode 4.
Good morning.
Time
We've made it
flying.
4 whole episodes.
Time is flying.
Yes.
We're already on 4.
So what'd you do this weekend?
No, what'd you do this weekend?
No, what'd you do? We had prom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, senior prom. It went really well. I made some people know that just know me from Facebook. I made floral pocket boutonniere. So instead of them wearing a pocket square, you actually make it's a pocket square of flowers, basically. And you wrap flowers with some cardboard that kind of fits in the pocket. And it just looks really good because you can tie in so many colors from, you know, whatever you need to be for prom. This year we bought a suit instead of renting a suit. Made our dollars work better for us.
Well, probably a good idea because he'll probably be wearing suits, you know, more now that he's getting out of high school.
Totally. So that was it. I mean, they have a pretty quiet prom there. It wasn't just like some giant after party or anything like that. So
I was going to ask, what does prom look like these days? It's been a long time.
It just kind of depends on where you go to school too. So they had a good time.
They go to dinner ahead
of
time.
Yes, they went over to Waterfront. It was a big group of them, and they went to Waterfront, and then they didn't go to prom. They got to be there by a certain time.
Okay,
and then that's like over at 11. But I mean, he came home. He chose to not go to a prom party, so we're not upset
never
about.
Lead. Yeah, those things never lead anything good.
I will still always say nothing good happens after midnight.
No,
so.
My dad always said that too.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah,
so. Anyways, that was about our weekend. It was just kind of cold, right?
Yeah, it was freezing.
Yeah.
Rainy.
We didn't do anything. So what about your weekend?
My weekend was my mother's memorial service, which was not fun.
Not a weekend.
Mm-mm.
No.
I'm already going to cry.
How are you doing?
Not good. I just thought I was good. That's so crazy how it just hits you.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, you always hear funerals and memorial services are the closure, and they really are a closure. Mm-hmm. They don't make it better. They just change your mindset on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I can't believe I'm already crying.
You have to start moving forward at that point. It's okay, now what?
It does make you feel different. It's not better. It's not worse. It's different. It was a lovely service. I think the thing that stood out for me the most was the people that showed up. It's crazy. You know, I don't think I'm that good of a person. Like, I don't feel like
it does make you question, doesn't it?
I'm like, wow, that's so crazy. I mean, they drove, it was in Muskogee, which isn't that far. It's 45 minutes from here, but it's still a drive and it was raining and cold. And so to have an aisle of friends, and then I had a roommate from college, or she wasn't a roommate, she was just a good friend, drive in. Her and her husband texted me and said, we'll see you at 1:00. I'm like, what? They drove from Kansas City. That morning, 5 hours or 4, I guess, and turn around and drove back.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So, I mean, friendships mean everything. And the fact that I had so many show up for me that day really did. It calmed me, I guess. It was good for my soul just because they know me so well. And, you know, it was just a comfort there. So I don't know that they will ever know how much I appreciated that. But, I mean, you know, grief is hard.
It is no fun. And you are covered in flowers in here.
Yeah, I had so many friends come by last week that just wanted to come by and they all brought flowers. And so every time, you know, a new person shows up, you cry again. I think I cried every day last week. Just
it's exhausting.
Kindness. It is exhausting. I actually wrote something down. I got to find it. I was making some notes on it. There's a grief fog that's actually a known thing. And it's just the grief, the pain, the sorrow, and the exhaustion. It does give you grief fog. And it's true. I just remembered, you know, I had people calling me as I was driving back to Tulsa that evening. And the one question they asked me is, you know, how are you? Are you just exhausted? I'm like, I am wiped out. Like there is such a mental exhaustion that comes with it that your body just follows. And I actually slept the next day until 9:30. I get up at 4 and 5 every day and I was out until 9:30. And I don't know if it was just the relief of all of it or
sadness too, though. I think it really
depression and
I really fell in that. And I can still easily fall into it because now I think I've just kind of suppressed, try to suppress. I've never gone to get counseling over it or anything. It was just a lot at once. So, you know, losing your mom and your dad, and I was angry.
Oh, I bet.
I'm still so angry. So, I think me forcing myself to get up has helped. And this is really kind of new. I mean, this has gone on a long time for me. Sometimes people rebound so much more quickly, and I'm just like, how? How? Tell me how.
And I think that, I mean, everybody's grief is different, and there's no right or wrong way to grieve. There's only your way. Mm-hmm. And so everybody grieves in a different level. And I'm you know, there are those stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was anger the morning of. Like, I was driving over there after he passed away overnight, and I was mad. And, you know, you're just like, I just kept hitting my thighs driving in the car. I was so mad. And then, I mean, you just go through all the stages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the stage of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm crying. I'm in the stage of disbelief. Like, it doesn't seem real now.
Mm-mm.
And there's just no way she's not here. So it's that whole, you just kind of go through all of them.
All the time.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
And I remember laughing the first time I laughed, I felt guilty. And then I was like, it's okay to laugh. It doesn't take away from my grief. It's just your body, you know, readjusting. It's okay. But you do feel guilty.
You know, it was funny because when my mom had passed away, I don't even know how this obituary picture got mixed up with whatever was sent to the paper. She would have just killed, because it was so funny, because even when I posted the picture and she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you posted that. Because one day we had gone to In the Raw to eat with my friend, and my mom, you know, what she thought was guacamole, not thinking about it being the green, what is it called?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Take care of it.
Which is ultra spicy. And she had taken it like a big piece of dip and put the whole wad of it in her mouth. So her mouth was on fire and she was like laughing. We all were laughing till we had tears in our eyes. Well, I, of course, took a picture of her and she was like kind of covering her mouth, but laughing at the same time and on fire. Somehow that was her obituary picture.
Oh, no.
You know, so, but in the end, we all still laughed about it. But I'm like, oh, I feel guilty for laughing, but we had to find the funny. My, you know, my mom would have still been okay with it. I mean,
yeah.
Still my favorite video of her. Is her trying to get in my bed,
which was
pretty tall,
you
know. I've shared it a few times. And yeah, you miss the sounds of their voices. So, you guys, this is going to be a heavy podcast today.
Sorry. But it's where we are in life. I mean, it's what we're going through. My whole weekend was grief and dealing with all of it. So it's kind of where we are. But, you know, there was so much sorrow but so much love. And that's the, I don't know, almost 40 family members come in from out of town. None of them live here except, you know, immediate family. And so that was really fun to see because everybody loved my mom. And then, you know, my friends driving over. So in all the grief, there was so much happiness too.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Like, I saw my cousin's husband. Which I hadn't seen in I don't even know how long. And, you know, he said, it's such a shame that it takes this to bring us all together. Cause I hadn't seen some of these people in, mm-mm. you know, 20 years. And so, and they don't live that far away, sadly.
Isn't that sad?
It's just, we get so caught up in our own lives that we don't see them. So there's a lot of joy that comes with it and just seeing family, but obviously so much sorrow. And then my mom worked at this church that we had the service at for 42 years as the secretary and just quit 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister that she worked with for 16 of them is the one that did her service.
Oh.
And so he did an amazing job because mm-hmm. he spoke about her from his perspective and his, you know, outside looking in and who she was. And, you know, the people that sent me text messages afterwards saying, I feel like I always thought I knew your mom just from you talking about her, mm-hmm. but I know her from a completely different, he changed like some of how I feel about
right.
her. He actually, she's even more an amazing person than I thought she was just mm-hmm. based on how he described her. So that was really cool mm-hmm. to hear somebody else talk about her because we know how much.
Still good.
Yeah. I mean, we know how great she was, but to hear somebody from the outside and it was a beautiful service, but boy.
When people show up for you, it's a very special thing. I mean, because I was like you. I mean, people came to the funerals and I really was shocked. I'm like, man, you took time out of your day to come here. Some friends put together the big family dinner, like for my dad. For my mom's, we all decided to go to Los Cabos. We got the back room.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that was just a party. I mean, because there were so many little kids. I mean, she has 36 grandkids. I lose count. Like literally someone's having a baby still every year. But it really was a true good time. We were all laughing as hard as it was having that family and some close friends came too. But it was really, really special.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry you're going through that.
That's all right. I do feel like now is
the depth of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody goes through it. You know, it's just, it's part of life. I said that to somebody. It's part of life. It's not the fun part of life, but it is what we go through.
It does make you realize like how you need to show up, even maybe through our pain at some point. But I know, like I've told you before, I've still not gone to the cemetery and I don't know when I will. Yeah. Oddly enough, they're where your mom is.
Yeah, we can go together. We get up enough gumption.
Yeah, because I'm not gone. And I've avoided like all funerals.
Yeah.
I know I won't make it through it. So we'll get there. We will get there.
Yeah. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I think it's something that's, you move through. You don't get over, you move through it and you live through it.
You know, I'll tell moms, if you're out there listening, or to anybody that's special to you. I remember a few years ago, my mom was like, "This is so weird, Amy. I don't know why you're asking." I'm like, "Just do it. Just make me a video of you singing me happy birthday." Mm. That's all I wanted. Like, and she did it. And even in the video, she's like, "This is so weird, Amy. I'm just do it. That's all I want." And now, you know, it's like one of my most prized things is to have a video of my mom just singing to me in the phone. It's the first thing I listen to on my birthday. So there's little things that we think about along the way that are going to be so important to people that we care about.
That actually just brought me, that just hit me like a rock in the face, because my mom and dad, for, I mean, I don't even know how many years they've been doing it. For our birthdays, they call us at 7 o'clock in the morning and sing together. I don't know what's going to happen now. My dad's not going to do it by himself, because it was my mom that always initiated it. And he'd be on one phone or he'd be standing next to her, and they both, and my dad's got a beautiful voice. My mom usually just made it funny. And she did it to all her grandkids. She did it. They did it to every single person every year for 30 years, 40 years.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they'd stop singing, my dad would leave, you know, and she'd stay on the phone and talk to us. And every single time I'd act like I couldn't hear him. I always go, "Hello, are you there?" And my mom would laugh and say, "You heard us. Now what am I going to do my birthday?" Like, that just hit me.
Yeah, there will be new things every day. You've got a lot to walk through.
Yeah,
over the next year, especially at first.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they consider early grief as the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's early, considered early grief. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get on some good news, because
yeah,
I mean, although I know people, there's a lot of people going through what we're going through. And whether it's mother, I mean, I think mom and dads are hard, but people have lost children. And
oh God, I cannot imagine.
I can't either. And that's that.
Just for my voice. It's the flowers, all the pollen and the flowers getting me in here.
I think it's all hard, no matter, you know, what the loss is, but that's kind of where we are. So unfortunately, you guys had to experience that today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's life.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to talk about it, because I do think so many of us have to walk around tough.
Yeah, I mean, because
literally the day after, I mean, my mom passed away, the day after, well, I mean, within 12 hours, basically, by the next day, I had to take my husband to get rotator cuff surgery. So I was thrown into a right arm, his main arm, getting the most intense rotator cuff surgery. And it was just like, where's the time to grieve? I mean, because I just was instantly thrown into a nurse mode. It's just, life has to go on.
Yeah.
And we have to just tough through it somehow. Yeah. It seems like
it's probably good for you though. I wonder.
Yeah.
If it helps.
I mean, yes, it does help to stay busy, but
keep your mind off of it.
Yeah. There's still lots of things I need to catch up on from just sitting back in grief. So,
okay, let's change the subject.
Let's do it.
So, you had asked me last week, and we didn't really talk about it, is what is Mahjong?
Yeah. Mahjong. Mahjong. I cannot even, how do you even say it?
It's Mahjong. It's Mahjong. Mahjong. It's Mahjong.
Okay. Yeah. I mean.
I can't believe, like, you seem to me, you would be a someone that's played it.
Absolutely not.
Really?
If it involves numbers, no. You want to see me, like, freak out, panic, crawl into a shell. Numbers do not.
Is it numbers, though? Because it's really, you're matching pictures on, like, they're like a domino. When you match pictures. It's almost like. I went one time. It was fun, but you have to go more than once. It's not easy.
It's not numbers.
It's not numbers.
See, all the time I thought it was like numbers.
No, it's They look a little bit like a domino, except they have different pictures on them. And you create sets just like a card. If you're trying to play cards and you have like, I can't think of the card game, but where you have to have like four of a kind or five of a kind. Yeah. And so you do that with these domino looking things with different pictures on them, and you have to try to match them. And then there's all sorts of rules, some crazy rules. It's complicated.
You lost me. Uno is my game. You lost me at complicated. I mean, I'm one of those people you're trying to explain it, instructions, and like, can we just all learn as I play? Because I cannot be told instructions.
And that's kind of how they, when you go to the lessons, because they have a ton of lessons. So you go and they have somebody at each, you're in foursomes, there's four per table. And they have somebody there and you have instructions. And so you play it as you learn as you play. And then they're helping you. So you can pick what, like you have to pull the dominoes. Just like if you're playing dominoes, you pick five. Right. You put them on your little thing, like almost like Scrabble, where you line them up. And then you start trying to figure out what set you want to go for. Mm-hmm. And then you put the others back that you don't want. And then if someone else is discarding, then you can take theirs. And so it's kind of like a hard game, except with these domino looking things.
I like Uno and Farkle.
I don't even know that other one. What is it?
It's a little game. I mean, it's a tiny little dice type game, but you can play with money and somebody can walk away with, you know, a little stash of money. But I gotta keep it easy.
This is kind of replacing Uno for women, you know, all the Uno. Is that Uno that all the women get together and play?
No.
What's that?
I was going to ask you, is where they all sit at card tables and all that?
Yeah,
I never got into that either. I went maybe once or twice my whole life.
What's that called?
I literally cannot think of it, because that's what I was trying to think of. It'll come to us here in a minute when we have a little flashbang of
Bunko.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is kind of replacing Bunko for groups.
Yeah, I never got into Bunko either.
Yeah, I didn't either. I never was part of a Bunko group.
No.
Well, I went one time because everybody keeps talking about it, and I thought, okay, I want to go. And then I never went back. I enjoyed it.
See you later.
Yeah.
Have fun.
No. But that's what it is. It's not, it's kind of fun. It'd be fun if you were playing with a group of girls you liked.
Yeah.
But like that group, there was I don't know how many were in the room, 40.
Wow.
Learning how. But you really were in your foursome. Whatever, the four of you sat together and played. Each one played different. So you're
interesting.
It's not, you're not interacting with anybody else in the room.
Game player?
No,
I'm not either.
No, we used to play, you know, at Christmas time, like Christmas Eve, we'd everybody, when the kids were younger, the grandkids were younger, we'd all be at mom and dad's and play Bunko, or we'd play something, but not often even. We're never big game players, card games, or
I mean, we had lots of games growing up, but I just wasn't the one that loved to play.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Hungry Hungry Hippo. I'm very basic.
I don't even know what that is.
And what was that shock game where it would rattle all the things and you had to get connect? I do like Connect Four. See, I'm very, let's just keep it very,
very
basic. Mm-hmm. And I can play.
Yeah, I don't even know what that one is either.
Lose my it was like Connection or. Yeah, it was fun. I love the risk of like, is it going to explode on me?
I don't even know what that is. But so yeah, no, we didn't play hardly any games growing up. Even as an adult, I've never been. You know, people have game nights and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't be bothered.
No. Our family on Steven's side, we do have like Uno night, but we keep it to Uno. Now there's like a new complicated Uno. We try to play that at the last like family game night, and it's like I said, it's always typically Uno. And I'm like, y'all, this has just got Uno just got ruined.
Oh, really?
They just tried
too much.
Just give me the old school Uno, okay?
Yeah.
It's basic. Let's go.
Yeah.
We can do this. The other one was like, whoa, too many new rules to it and too much. So,
are you a jigsaw puzzle girl?
You know, we got one at Christmas, not generally, but I will say it was so nice having it out on our dining room table, because we found so often that everybody, you just kind of walk by it and you kind of mess with it. And all of us have said, we need to get another puzzle and put it out, because we actually really did. No, I'm not a jigsaw person, but maybe I'm getting there. Hmm. Maybe I'm going to be a crossword person soon.
Oh, geez.
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
But we did all of it. My husband, my oldest son, I'd walk in and there they were working on the puzzle. So it was kind of nice.
That's nice.
Together as a family. So
everybody got on those during COVID when no one could go anywhere. But you couldn't even find a jigsaw puzzle in the stores. They were all bought out.
Yeah. You know, I bought that portable tennis net because our driveway was actually big enough to be able to hold, and you can make it into a pickleball size.
Oh, yeah.
And,
And my mom, since she was next door, you know, I mean, she would come over, we'd play tennis out there in the
Oh, that's fun.
driveway. It was fun. That thing was great. We got a lot of use out of that during COVID. It was really nice.
So that's another question. Do you play pickleball?
No, not, can I? Yes. And do I want to?
No.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
No, I do. I would love to.
Oh.
And even sometimes at the lake, we'll set it up out there. And that's something we've done as a family and like really love it. But on a like high skill level, no.
Tournament?
No.
You're not going to a pickleball tournament?
No, I may. If I actually set to it and have the time to do that. But I mean, I could see myself wanting to do it more. Even my husband, I think we would actually do it together if we had the time.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Uh-huh. We both enjoy tennis. So, you know. We'll see. How about you?
I took a couple of lessons with my girls' night out group. Uh-huh. We went and played one night, and then we did lessons. Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. I think I would play it. I just think I would hurt myself.
Yeah.
I'd be the one that gets injured. Cause...
That's why I like it. You're not quite, I don't feel like I'm quite as at risk.
Well, that's probably
finishing my knee off.
Yeah. But so many people are falling and breaking hips and arms and.
Lord help me.
I know. I see, that's my fear. Oh. So I kind of stay away, but we sound like we're 110. It's ridiculous. But I do think it's fun.
Skiing, and my husband's like, absolutely.
Oh, no.
You will never get. And I'm like, but I can actually ski. Like, I'm actually really decent at it. Used to be, at least.
Yeah. When's the last so time different. You skied?
But. He was like, that will never happen, ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, so. I think that, because I love to ski too, and I skied for years, but I can't imagine skiing now because, man, the fall on a ski slope is a different fall.
Yes, it is.
Your ski gets wrapped up, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, yeah. I mean, that's where I did the most damage to my knees is skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I can't imagine, I'd love to go to the mountains and go to a ski resort.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine actually getting out on a ski at this point in my life. I think I would really hurt myself.
Yeah.
I'm too clumsy. I fall going up. I just fell going up my steps outside, face planted into my French doors.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a dangerous.
Yeah, he's right. I won't do that.
It's a dangerous sport.
Okay. So we're going to do a super round. Since we've cried through the first part of this thing, now we're going to do quick questions of each other.
Fire. To get to know each
Random
other.
Fire.
Yeah.
Question. Okay. Okay. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I don't know if it's the best piece of advice, but it's the one that's pounded into my head by my dad. And it actually has come to serve me really well as a business owner is if you're on time, you're late. So I'm early for everything. If I'm on time, I do feel like I'm late. And it drives me insane to be on, even on time. And so I'm always, even if it's just 2 minutes early, I'm always early. And he used to pound that into our heads when we'd be running late for church or if you're on time, you're already late. This is ridiculous. We have to go. And so
yes.
I don't know if it's good advice, but it sure has played me well as an adult.
People that run me late.
Yeah.
Wears me out. Okay. Favorite color.
No, you answer. What's your?
Oh. Okay. Best piece of advice I've ever received. Very basic, but it always comes to mind. And my mom would always say, don't borrow worry. Don't worry about something basically that we really don't even know if we need to worry about it. We can waste a lot of energy. So there's a lot of times where I just kind of like try to shake it off knowing she has said that. Okay. What's your favorite color?
Pink now.
Okay. Mine is green.
Green.
What is your go-to Starbucks order?
Chai latte.
Okay. Mine is that ribbon frappuccino.
Oh,
I've never had a coffee from Starbucks.
You haven't?
Nope.
I don't really do their coffee. Their coffee's too strong, but the chai tea I really like. It's nice. I used to say it makes me happy. It's just really soothing and
I should try it.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite food?
Oh gosh. I don't really have a favorite. I'm not a big food person. I mean sushi probably if I had one, if I could pick any restaurant, it would probably be a sushi restaurant.
Okay. Mine are, it's homemade empanadas. I mean, we even did them at my family when I asked for my big birthday family reunion.
Oh yeah.
So we all press out our own empanada. I mean, we use the tortilla presses. I mean, it is whole process. So that's like my favorite. And I don't want fruit filled.
Mm.
Ours are actually cheese filled. And then they're fried. And then we have a sauce that my grandmother was known for her sauce. So that's my favorite food, empanadas. Guilty pleasure.
A spa. Going away to a spa.
See, that's probably really good. I mean, mine is, I was going to say a sonic blast. Which is funny because I always get it with extra. My husband gets so mad because
If he's with me, we're at the drive-thru. I want a Sonic Blast or I want an extra hot fudge sundae. But if I'm ever going to do that, I want extra of everything. So I'm like, would you please tell him I want extra fudge and nuts? And he's like, I'm not telling them extra fudge and nuts. You're going to have to tell him. He gets so irritated. You can just see him pull up. He's like, somebody say fudge and nuts extra. If I get an Oreo blast and I'm like, give me the extra Oreo and the extra whip. Like, I mean, just load it up.
Okay.
But he won't ask for extra fudge.
Mine is a spa. I go to a spa in every city or every country. I've been to every kind of spa. I love them.
I have not.
It's the best.
See, I'm very basic. I need to spread my wings a little bit.
When you first said Sonic Blast, I was like, is that a trip? Like, what is this? It's a train that goes really fast.
Oh, that is so funny. No, that's my guilty pleasure. So we'll do one more. Current TV obsession.
I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm a reality show person. I don't watch any sitcoms or any scripted. It's all reality stuff.
Right. Mine is recently. So Ty and I have started watching The Rookie, and my mom used to like it too. My mom and dad. I think my dad had watched that. Anyways, it's a great series. It's a police series,
okay.
But it really kind of there's so much to it that is honestly so realistic to what it is piled on these officers every day and their job and how quick they have to. You want to talk about having to suppress grief?
No, I bet
that's insane.
That kind of hits home with you guys anyway.
Uh huh. Yeah. So anyways, that's The Rookie. Ty and I are actually starting from season one. Had no idea there were 8 seasons, so I don't know how long. But it's actually a good show for it to go on that long.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix is how we're watching it. So anyways, that's it. We'll do some more of these rapid fire.
Yeah. So this is the, if you're not familiar, Vogue came out with 74 questions that they've asked.
Who?
So Vogue magazine.
Oh, Vogue. Okay.
So we are doing the She Said 70 questions. And so we'll split it up over several podcasts. You guys get to know us a little bit better. Yeah.
Tell us if there's some other questions we should ask each other.
Yeah. There's some good ones.
That's it. Thanks for crying with us.
Yes.
We're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry.
We'll try not to make it heavy.
Every time. We can get through all this.
We're walking through this.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll help bring some joy.
Yeah. Everybody's gone through it. So hopefully it helps somebody because we're right smack dab in the middle of it.
Yes, we are.
So we will see you guys next
week.
Next week.